We began earlier today trying to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where the Apostle Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We try to begin looking at the fact that we have, just as they had, we have a lively hope today. Now, that word hope does not mean something that's just a little wish, or we hope it comes to pass, not having any assurance. That's not what the word hope means in the Bible. The word hope means confidence based on the authority of God. And so I have a hope of being in heaven one day. That doesn't mean that it's just a wish, but it's a confidence that I have that I'll be there because of what God has done for me. There are a lot of different things that I think as we look at the Word of God, that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have been begotten again unto a lively hope. We have a great confidence in many things because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We looked earlier at the fact that we have complete assurance. We have a great hope. We have a lively hope. We have great confidence that our sins have been purged because Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And so there are many, many blessings that we have and many assurances that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We looked at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 that talks about how happy we are about the resurrection of Christ, because in the resurrection of Christ, He is called that great shepherd. So we not only have a resurrected Savior, one who has saved us from our sins, but we have a resurrected shepherd, and He's still shepherding today. He's still taking care of us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We need a shepherd. We need a great shepherd. We need the chief shepherd. And we have that shepherd. If the shepherd, and remember, the shepherd died. The Savior died. We could talk about all the things we looked at this morning. Our Savior died. Our shepherd died. Our helper died. But now we've been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the great shepherd, the resurrection of the Savior, the resurrection of our helper, the resurrection of the one that we need every day of our lives. We have a great confidence because of a risen Savior. Tonight I want us to think about the fact that we have a lively hope about the continuance of the church. And we have that confidence of the continuance of the church because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you will, back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I want us to remember that Jesus made a number of great promises about His church. Brethren, I am not at all worried about the devil destroying the church of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot destroy the church. In fact, the church is like a mighty army going forward, and the devil cannot stop the church as it goes forward in her mission in the world today. The devil cannot stop the church. The gates of hell, the devil and all of his angels can put up all kind of gates to try to stop the church. I'll tell you, you can't stop the church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is leading the church. He is the King. He's the captain of our salvation. He is the head of the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That doesn't mean the gates of hell are going to be attacking us, though it's true that the devil does attack the church. But whether in the gates of hell trying to prevail against the church, to me the picture is that as the army of God, the church of God is going forward, and all kinds of obstacles that the devil puts in front of the church, those gates that the devil puts up, they cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Why? Well, brethren, if the head of the church, if he just died, and that's the end of the head of the church, then that's the end of the church. But the head of the church, though the head of the church died, he rose again. And therefore, I have great confidence that the church will continue because the head of the church continues to lean on. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 15, the Word of God says, He hath said unto them, and that is He, that is Jesus, saith unto them, to His disciples, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's who He was before He died, right? Is that who He was before He died? Yes. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who He was before He died. And He's still the Christ, the Son of the living God today. Verse 17 says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, that is to Peter, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, brethren, that rock is not Peter, that rock is Jesus Christ and the truths about Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church. Two things I want you to remember about the church. And this is the reason that I have great confidence that the church will continue is because Jesus is the builder of the church. Jesus is the one, as you go to Acts chapter 2 and you read about thousands being added to the church, Jesus is the one that added to the church. That was after His resurrection that He was adding to the church. Jesus built the church. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's His church. And because we have a resurrected head of the church, the builder of the church, the protector of the church, the leader of the church will go on as long as this world continues. And brethren, I'm very happy to tell you that. There are a lot of organizations in this world that there's no assurance that any of them will continue. I've been a member of a lot of different civic clubs back yonder when I was in the business world. Been a member of a lot of different civic clubs, and most of those civic clubs are still going. But I'll tell you, brethren, none of those civic clubs have the promise that the church has. And the church has the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. And the reason it cannot prevail against the church today is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a lively hope that the church will continue because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now there's another lively hope. There's another confidence that I have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is I have eternal security today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I want you to see that this is a lively hope. This is a great confidence that we ought to be understanding that we have today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The great confidence that I have is that the devil and all of his angels cannot separate us from the love of God. That's a blessing. Brethren, there are a lot of I have dear friends today. They do not believe that we have eternal security. But I want you to know, brethren, that God's Word establishes repeatedly that because of the power of God, the devil cannot separate us from the love of God. And that makes me happy, happy, happy. I have a lively hope. I have great confidence. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know more about my eternal security than I do about what I'm going to do in the future. Because I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but I know what God is going to do. God's going to take care of His people. God's going to hold on to His people. God's going to protect His people. They are kept by the power of God, and the devil and all of his angels cannot separate one from the grasp of God. If me being in eternal heaven, if me being eternal secure If me being eternally secure was based on me holding on to God, I would have no eternal security whatsoever. But my eternal security is not blessed on me being faithful to God. My eternal security is not blessed based on me holding on to God. My eternal security and your eternal security and the eternal security of every child of God, it's based on this fact. We have a risen Savior who's holding on to us today. We have a lively hope. We are confident that the devil cannot separate us from the love of God because we have a risen Savior. Look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 33. I want you to think about these words now. You may know some of these words by heart, but Romans 8:33 establishes eternal security of God's people. Romans 8, verse 33, the question is asked, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, brethren, when we talk about God's elect, there are a lot of different choosings that God has done in the Bible. But right now, I want us to think about the elect family of God that was chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 says, according as he hath chosen us, not we chose him, but he chose us. According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's God's elect. That's God's family that's been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And it's a people so great that no man can number. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, they were chosen by God. They were predestinated. And brethren, anything God has predestinated, it's going to come to pass. Anything God has said is going to happen, it's going to happen because of the power and the sovereignty of God. And God says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is. Now listen carefully to verse 34. He's saying the same thing Peter did over there about the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Are you glad he died? Are you glad he died? Your eternal salvation is dependent upon him dying for you. And your eternal salvation is dependent on him being raised from the dead. And your eternal security is based on him being raised from the dead. So he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is what? Risen again. Now what's the effect of us in our lives today? Because he is dead, we're saved, but he is risen again, we have a what? We have a lively hope. We have great confidence because he's risen again. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Brethren, did you know that I don't pray as much as I ought to pray? Did you know that? And you don't pray as much as you ought to pray. But did you know that Jesus, your great high priest, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And do you know what Jesus is doing for you every day? He is making intercession for you every day of your life. And brethren, I'm glad that Jesus is making intercession for us. I feel real, real good about Jesus making intercession for us. Now, you and I ought to pray for each other. We ought to be involved in intercessory prayer, praying for other people. I'm telling you, I've got a lively hope knowing my Savior, my High Priest, my Lord, my risen Savior is right there at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, for all the elect family of God. Jesus is there making intercession for us. Then verse 35, another question is asked. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, Christ died, didn't he? Didn't Christ die? Didn't he die? Well, now, if he was not raised again, that's the end of his love for you. But he was raised again. Therefore, who can separate you from the love of Christ? Does Christ still love you today? Did he love you when he went to the cross of Calvary? Did he love you when he died on the cross of Calvary? Does he love you today? Yes, because he is risen again. And the question is asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who is the him that loved us? Jesus. You know why Paul says we are right now. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why are we more than conquerors? Because he lives. We are more than conquerors through him, through Jesus, through him that loved us. Then he says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded when he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded. Those words are basically the identical meaning of what Peter said when he said that God has begotten us again unto a what? A lively hope. That's great confidence, assurance. Paul says here, I have a lively hope. I'm persuaded. I'm confident. I am assured. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see that God loving you and having you today is dependent on the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I have great confidence that nothing can separate me from the love of God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Another thing that I have great confidence in is not just the resurrection of Jesus, but because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus, I believe that he's going to raise my vile body from the dust of the earth. I know people, I have some good friends, that they believe that Jesus died and rose again, but they believe that it was just a spiritual body. Now, it was a spiritual body, but it was his natural body that was raised from the grave. His real natural body was raised from the grave. That's the reason when they went to the tomb and there was no body there. There was no B-O-D-Y. There was no body there because he had been raised. His body had been raised. Your body, my body, and the bodies of all the elect family of God that have lived from Adam until the end of time, all those bodies are going to be raised in the final resurrection. They're going to be changed. It's because he rose that I have confidence I'm going to be raised from the grave. Because Jesus is the first fruits. The first fruit, that means a lot more fruits are going to follow. He is the first fruits of them that slept. He is the first begotten of the dead. A lot of others are going to come up out of the grave, but Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. And he is the first fruits of them that slept. And because I have been begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe that you're going and I'm going to be raised from the dead. I have a son and I have a daddy that their bodies are in the grave in Thomaston, Georgia, behind Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. You might think that I'm very unloving to not go to that grave. That grave site just doesn't mean anything to me. If I could do something for their bodies, I would probably do something for their bodies. There's nothing I can do. I love my son and I love my daddy. But my son is in heaven right now. My daddy is in heaven right now. And I could not stand to leave that grave the day that I buried my son and the day that I buried my daddy. I could not have left that grave site if I did not believe in the resurrection of the body. I would have had that body preserved somehow, some way. I would have kept those bodies somehow. But I know that those bodies, though they go back to the dust of this earth, I know that one day those bodies are going to be raised from the grave. The same one who raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken our mortal bodies. And it doesn't matter if someone was buried at sea. It doesn't matter if they were burned alive. It doesn't matter if they were burned at the stakes. It doesn't matter if their bodies were blown to pieces. Their bodies are going to be raised from the dead. And it all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't have any assurance of the resurrection of the body if Jesus was not raised from the dead. my whole confidence in me being raised and you being raised and all the body of God being raised from the dead, it's all based on Jesus being raised from the dead. And so do you see how distressed, do you see how discouraged, do you see how despondent the apostles were when Jesus died? They had no future. That was going to be their end if that was his end. But it wasn't his end. And so when he was raised from the grave, Peter rejoiced and said, "Oh, God has blessed us. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That little phrase at the end, I leave it off a lot, but "from the dead" is important to remember. He wasn't just raised from the grave. He was raised from the dead. He was dead. My Savior was dead. My great shepherd was dead. The head of the church was dead. He was dead. And how would you have felt had you been alive, if you had been one of his apostles back then? How would you have felt? I don't think you could come out of the house. I think you would have been weeping and wailing. He's dead. The one that I thought was going to bring about salvation, the one that I thought was going to establish his kingdom, the one that I thought was the Messiah, he's dead. It's all over. And then God had begotten them again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives. He lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in your Bibles very quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we think about the fact that God has begotten us again unto a lively hope about the resurrection of the body because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, the Word of God says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Now, I'm glad there's not a period right there, because I would be happy that he died for my sins, because that's what they said he was going to come do, was die for my sins, save me from my sins. But the declaration is, this is a declaration after the fact now, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and, here it is now, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He rose again. You see, there's the lively hope we have today. That's the reason for our lively hope. The reason for all of our lively hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything you can think about, the future, eternal heaven, everything you can think about, everything in this world, and everything in that glory world which is to come, it all hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad he died. I'm glad he was buried. I'm glad, I tell you, he rose again. And I have a lively hope. I'm happy, 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 10,000 times happy. I have great confidence, assurance. I have peace in my soul. I don't worry about the future in this world or the future in eternal heaven. None of it bothers me. It's not a bother to me, because my eternal security and my security in this life is all based on Jesus being alive today. And he's alive. And that's what my faith and my confidence is in, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 12, now listen, brethren, there were people that denied the resurrection of Jesus. That'll happen a lot more today in our society as things get worse. But look at we're in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12. "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Brethren, it doesn't matter who begins to teach such a thing. You have the responsibility to stand up and say, you're wrong. Don't you budge one iota on the resurrection of Christ. If Christ is not raised from the dead, we can close the doors and go home. It's all over. "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God." Why? Because they had declared Jesus was raised from the grave. And if he was not raised from the dead, they were false witnesses. because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Listen to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ is risen from the dead, and you are going to be raised from the dead. And he speaks, I think, alludes to that in 1 Corinthians 15. Look, beginning in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. You hear that? I want to repeat it. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection, we have a great victory. I have a great confidence that my King is alive today. I could go on and on. You know that there is no end to what I'm trying to get across. But let me just say in closing that I have a King that's alive today. And I am confident in my King. My King is greater than any kings in this world. My King rules over all the other powers and authorities in this world. My King is above the devil and all of his angels. My King is above the President of the United States and Congress. My King is above all the other leaders in this world. My King is above them all. And my King is on his throne. And he is ruling and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a King that is risen from the grave. And he has established his kingdom. He told some people that were with him in Matthew 16, 27 and 28. He says, there be some of you standing here which shall not taste of death till you see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus is right now the King, and his kingdom is established. And we ought to be happy. We ought to rejoice that we have a living King, because his laws will prevail and his laws must be obeyed. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.